Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Recently, me and my wife, we bought a house and we did some renovations. And I don't know if you've done any renovations to your home before, a lot of people have, but we bought a house that was built in the 70s. And my wife and I were both born in the 90s, and now we live in the 20th century. So we thought we just might change it up a little bit. Get rid of the floral carpet, the floral curtains. Oh, if that's your house, that's great. But for us, we just thought, let's just do something different. Let's change it up. And so we did some renovations, but we also did an extension. So a lot of the time, it felt like we were building a new house. Like it was a lot of work. I felt like basically we just bought a block of land and built a house. A lot of the time, every Saturday, we were there with my father-in-law and we were building. And it took 9 months. It took a long time to build this house. And I just wanted to move in. I just wanted to get in there. But the process takes a bit of time. And so now we've moved in. We've been in there for 6 months or so now. And every time I just look around, I just look at this house and say, I built this house. With my bare hands, I built this house. Jen will often say, hey, babe, can you empty the dishwasher? I'll just look at her and say, I built this house with my bare hands. It wouldn't even be a dishwasher. You want me to? She says, babe, would you mind just hanging out the washing? I built this house with my bare hands. Every Saturday for nothing. You mean hang out the washing? And then I realize I'm just being stupid. And I empty the dishwasher. I hang the washing. I do the right thing. But I'm so proud because I built this house with my bare hands. You know when you're filling out a form and they ask you for your occupation? I write, I'm a pastor, but now I also do a dash and write builder. And so when there's a census or, you know, whenever it is, I write pastor, but I'm also a builder because I built my house with my bare hands. So I'm a builder. And so people ask, what do you work on? I'm a pastor in a church. I do a lot of preaching and a lot of leadership, but I'm also a builder. Oh, awesome. How many houses have you built? Half a house? Oh, really? So you're just getting started? Yeah. Just getting started in the whole process. I'm a pastor, but I'm also a builder. But the truth is, I'm not a builder. I was the guy that dug the hole, went to Bunnings to get the screw, handed the screw over to the builder. Any heavy machinery I was not really allowed to use. Just the jackhammer to dig the hole for the professionals to do the job. But I am a builder of my faith. I love to build my faith. I love to grow my faith. I love to establish my faith. And a lot of us in this place may be builders, we may not be, but it's so important that we are all builders of our faith. We're in Colossians. Colossians says this in chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. It says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. As you have been taught, abounding in thanksgiving. It's so important that we build our faith. I'm going to read it one more time because this is the last week we're going to be going through Colossians, and I want to read this verse again. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in your faith. So many things we build in life. Can we agree? We build our careers. We build our skill set. We build our education, we build our families, we build our finances, but it would be remiss of us to not build our faith. Our faith should be the most important thing to us. Family is so important. Career is extremely important. Having great finances and building your asset base and wealth is a really important thing. But the fact that the Bible says build your faith, ground yourself, build up, become established and grow. Daniel Leonardo said, I'm just a new Christian, but I tell you what, he is building his faith rapidly. He mentioned he went to about 37 life groups. He's on the host team, he's on the sound team. Who knows what other team he's going to join? But here's a man who's grounding himself and then building his faith. Jude, chapter 1. Jude only has one chapter, but I thought I'd just still say Jude chapter 1, verse 20. Says, but you, everybody say, but you. Beloved, building yourselves. Everybody say, building yourselves. Up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Build yourselves up on your faith. It's so important that we do this. We cannot be people that neglect the building of our faith. Because the truth is that God has a big life for you. I think we need to all agree at the start of this message that God has a big life for you. If you think that God doesn't have a big life for you, doesn't have great things, doesn't have dreams, doesn't have plans, he doesn't have a purpose, that's not the truth. God has big things for your life. You are great. He wants you to be great. He wants you to be significant. He wants you to have influence. He doesn't want you to go under the radar. And this doesn't mean that you're a platform speaker above and beyond. He just means he's got something so significant for you. Your personality, your passion, your giftings. You need to build yourself up because God has big things for you. Imagine if everybody in this room just kept building their faith, growing, building their life, establishing their faith. Imagine what God could do in our church, in our communities, at our universities, in our workplaces. Build up established Christians going for Jesus. I can just begin to dream what God is going to do. God wants you to have an inspiring life, an amazing life, a large, big, significant life. We've all seen skyscrapers before. Pastor Derek mentioned it as he came out from worship. And he said the fact that skyscrapers are so big, don't you just look at them in awe and just admire the architecture and the design and the significance of them, the greatness of them. They're just massive. When you look at a skyscraper, you should see what God has for you because God has big things for you. God has great things for your life. And I love that Derek preached my message for me. I said to Pastor Allen, I said, he just preached my message. We're going home. People are getting saved. Message is done. Let's go home. But I'll tell you what I love about the start of this Colossians scripture. It says that you need to be grounded and built up. There's no point going up. There's no point going wide until you've gone down first. Until you've built down. And the absolute truth is that a skyscraper needs to build on the earth, but it needs to find bedrock. I did a little bit of research. I'm not a real builder, so I had to research this. But yeah, a skyscraper needs to hit bedrock. And from what I hear, there's a few types of soil, then there's some other stuff, and then finally it will hit a foundation where it can start to build back up from. But the first point to build and establish your faith is finding the bedrock of your life, finding the solid concrete, the rock that you can build on. Then you can begin to build level after level after level, gift after gift, word after word, building your faith, growing your life, establishing, going after the things that God has for you. Luke 6:46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep, who dug deep, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Your life is not destined to be in ruins. Your life is not destined to be ground. Your life is destined to be significant, great, mighty. Because that's the God we serve. Whether you believe that right now or not, my prayer in my heart at the end of this message, you just have this confidence rise up as we ground ourselves on Jesus and who he is and what he can do. We can live this big skyscraper, significant, amazing life. Mark 4, chapter 5 and 6. Jesus is telling a parable about sowing seed into the ground. He says, some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. In other words, it didn't get down deep. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Here's a seed trying to grow, build, establish, be all that it's meant to be. But it had no root. There was no depth. And it just withered away. Again, the plan for your life is not that you would wither away and that the sun would scorch you, but that you would have a significant, meaningful, impactful life. But before we can establish, build up, we need to ground ourselves, dig deep, plant, root, ground ourselves in our faith on Jesus. Amen? Yes. Amen. Depth to your foundation, who you are and what you do. The truth is, how do we do that? Colossians told us, before it said grounded, built up and established, it said that you need to walk in Him. Yeah. Wow. Come on, if we can actually just have it on the screen one more time, I want you to believe me what I'm saying. Sorry, the Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 scripture. And therefore, you have received Jesus, Lord. Here we go. So walk in Him. Yeah. So walk in Him. That's important. Every step you take, every move you make. I've been watching you. That's what it says. Walk in Him. Every step you take, every move you make, every decision you decide, every thought you have, walk in Him. Before every step, ask. Before every decision, pray. Before everything you do, walk in Him. That's how you will be grounded. Then that's how you will be able to build up. The whole theme for this year is never without you. Jesus, never without you. That's how you walk in Him. That's how we become grounded. Never without you, God. Wherever I go, you're coming with me. In fact, if you don't come with me, I'm not going. If you're not involved in my parenting, I'm not parenting. If you're not involved in my business, I'm not businessing. If you're not involved in my career, I'm not developing it. God, wherever I go, whatever I do, I'm walking in you. I'm becoming grounded. As insecurity rises up, God, I am all I need to be right now. I don't need to be anyone I'm not called to be. As insecurity rises up, but you're walking in Him. You're grounded in Him. As guilt and shame come and attack us, the depth of the forgiveness and the righteousness that God has on your life is what you're grounded in. Shame and guilt can't have a great hold on you. Socializing, God, let me reach people. Before you know it, your whole life is grounded and being built on Jesus. Why? Because you're just walking with Him, walking in Him, thinking about Him, talking to Him, communicating with Him. Before we know it, we've dug 7 levels deep, but now we're building a 100-story skyscraper that God is going to use to do significant things. Come on, let's give God some praise right now. Because the truth is, the winds and the waves will come. Crisis will hit. I apologize in advance if that's not super positive, but I tell you what, we go through things. And I've gone through things, me and my wife have gone through things. There are some people in this room that have gone through things that I cannot even begin to imagine, but I've seen them grounded. And the wind and the waves have hit, but the fact that they are walking in Jesus, they're grounded on solid rock, someone that never changes, someone that never stops loving, never stops believing, never stops providing. The winds and the waves come, but they are as solid as they have ever been. Their life is not falling apart, not withering, not in ruins, because they're founded on Jesus Christ Himself and doing incredible things for God. Come on, it's time to build up and establish. There are 3 things here this morning I want us to build our lives on. So if you're taking notes right now, which I encourage you to do, 3 things we need to build our life on. First thing is, His promises. Yeah. Come on, write that down. Repeat that in your head. We need to build on His promises. Yeah. The truth is that God is always speaking. God is always making promises. And when you can hear the voice of God, read the word of God, and actually say, God, I need a promise from you. God, I need a word. God, I need something. You get grounded. God, speak to me. God speaks to you. Now you've got something that you can hold on to, the Word of God. If there's anything we can trust in this world, it's the Word of God. It's God our Father. He died for us. He loves us. He bled for us. He has the power to rise from the dead. If there's anyone we can trust, in fact, if there's anyone whose promises we can trust, it's our Savior's. And so when you get a promise from God, it changes everything. When you hear God speaking to your life and speaking to your situation, you can look at the winds and the waves and say, I don't care what it looks like, because God has promised me this. God has called me to this. I know Pastor Richard, Him and Pastor Helen are building an amazing church, but it's on a promise. Yeah. I wouldn't even be saved. I wouldn't even know Jesus if it wasn't for a great church like this. Yeah. But God spoke to him, Acts 26. He was reading his Bible one day. What a great thing to do.
Yeah.
Want to build your life? It's an incredible thing to do. Read the Word.
Come on.
Yeah. And God spoke to him in Acts 26. Says that he'll go out and turn people from darkness to light, from the power of the enemy to the power of God, from evil to goodness. And God spoke to Pastor Richard and said, this is your mandate.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what I will do through you. Yeah. This is what I am promising. What do you know with that? Every single Sunday, people's lives are turning from darkness to light, evil to good, Satan to God. But I tell you what, there's been tough times building a church. You think the enemy's just going to go for it. Build a great church. Establish. Help people find Jesus. The enemy's going to do whatever he can to shut this place down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When the winds and the waves come, but there was a promise that God spoke over our senior pastors' lives. This is what you would do. This is my promise. This is my word. And so as we begin to hear from God, we recognize his voice. Would I be right?
Yeah.
You begin to hear God. Hey, that's God speaking to me. Maybe you're not there just yet. Maybe you're saying, Dave, I really struggle to hear the voice of God, like God speaking to me in situations and circumstances. Just start with the word of God. Because that's his word. That's his voice. So begin to open up the Bible and just begin to read. And before you know it, God will just highlight a scripture, a passage, a story and say, this is my promise to you. Health, prosperity, favor, blessing, whatever it will be. But when God speaks that promise, hold on to it. Because that grounds you. That builds you up. Every time Pastor Richard gets up to preach, Acts 26 is my promise. So now he's building up. He's established. His preaching is established. Obviously, he continues to grow his preaching and read his word and all those kind of things. But I feel like a senior pastor's faith is building up, established, growing. And God wants the same for you in Jesus' mighty name. If you're not reading your word, honestly, you're not building anything. The Bible, as not cliche, but you know, it's obviously a common thing for a preacher to say, read the word. In fact, the Bible says for me to tell you to read your word. But I honestly believe just hear from God through the Bible. Half a chapter a day, just get into it. Every second day, one chapter, get into it, because God is promising you things. You need something to hold on to, the word, founded, grounded, never changing, never shaking. Second thing is his purpose. Everybody write that down. You need to find out the purpose God has for your life. When I was 16, I was asking God, God, what on earth do you want me to do? Close to finishing high school, God, what am I meant to study? What career am I meant to getting into? Is it building? Do you want me to build a God? I'll be a builder. No, it was never. I was never going to be a builder. Never. But I was saying, God, what do you want me to do with my life? In other words, I was trying to find my purpose. Because every day I wake up, I need something to live for. You know what I mean? I need something to be motivated, driven towards, a goal, something to aspire to. God, why am I on this earth? What's my purpose? Why am I here? Why have you gone to such amazing lengths to create me? Muscular, good looking, athletic, great teeth, beautiful hair. God, there has to be a reason. What is my purpose? And God spoke to me. In fact, in this moment, I got my promise and my purpose. Two for one deal. There's a sale in heaven. And I just started crying out to God and I said, God, what is my purpose? And God just said to me, what are you passionate about? And I started thinking, what am I passionate about? Like, do I want to be a teacher? No, maybe an engineer. I was trying to figure out my career. What am I going to do with the vast majority of my week all week? As an adult, obviously, and I just started, God, what am I passionate about? I love sport, but I don't know if I want to go into the industry or the only thing I'm really passionate about, God, is you and church and your people. And at that rate, being a pastor wasn't heavily on the radar. No one had prophesied into my life, and God just spoke to me and said, right there, that is your purpose. And so now I'm 28, 12 years later, I'm here right now just preaching the word of God, leading, loving, just doing what I can to help build the house of God. But I tell you what, I'm building my faith. I'm grounded in that promise. I'm grounded on my purpose, and I'm just building and building and building on that. And there's no way that I would ever say that I am established, but I am working towards the moment I go to heaven, where I face God and say, God, I ran my race. I ran through the promise. I fulfilled my purpose, God. I'm here standing before you, a skyscraper, having done significant things because of you, for you, through you. That's what God wants for your life. So come on, find out what the promise God has for you. And then talk to him. Find out his purpose on your life. There's a reason you're here. Find out what it is. Do you think God would have put you on earth for no reason? Come on, that's a serious question. Do you think God placed you here just for this or just for that? Not a chance in heaven. Not a chance. God just put you on this earth for nothing, for insignificance, not to influence people for good. God has put gifts inside your life. God has made promises. God has created you perfectly. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't get things wrong. He's a pure, perfect, whole God. And the fact that you are living, breathing, walking, talking, loving, caring is so important because it means you have purpose. There is a reason God created you. And the enemy comes to put us off our game, sometimes even our friends and our family just mistakenly undermine us and who we are and our purpose. But I promise you, God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and you need to find out what it is, because that's going to help you build, grow, establish your faith. Have a look at the gifts on your life. What are you gifted for? That's a good chance that's going to link in with your purpose. God's not going to call you to be an AFL player if you have no coordination skills. God's not going to call you to be a doctor if you're not, maybe you can't study that well, or you get distracted easily. I'm not too sure, but maybe God's calling you to be a teacher because you love kids or you love people. Find out what God is calling you. Find out what you're passionate about, what you're gifted in. Find out your purpose, because I promise you it's going to help you fulfill Colossians chapter 2. Build up, establish, become a skyscraper in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, my wife, Jenna, we're actually just finding out she's got an incredible prophetic gift. Like, I'll even admit, even way more prophetic than me, she just hears from God so clearly. And I'm just like, come on, give me that gift. Come on, God, I'm happy with my gifts. I am good. I love you. You're a good God. But I am... We're just finding out this is a gift on her life. She hears so clearly. She sees pictures. And every time she goes and prophesies over someone, it's just 100% right. And I'm just like, babe, I'm like at 50%. Every second one's wrong. But I'm just saying, God, that's just so amazing. But now we're saying, awesome. That's a gift on her life. Let's just see God unwrap it more. Where can we find places for her to use her gift and her purpose and begin to prophesy? Begin to use the gift that God has on her life. We have lights in the name of Jesus. Amen. So come on, you speak to God and say, God, what's my promise? I want a promise. I want something I'm holding on to. Hell or high water when they come. God, what's my purpose? What am I called to do? How many people in your workplace? Let me rephrase that. Imagine God's put you in your workplace not to build your career, but to reach lost people. Yep, come on. That's not in the notes. This has got to be God. Imagine God wants you to have a great career. He wants you to build it. But imagine you're in this workplace, in this career, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, not just to build your career, make money, make friends, but actually to reach lost people around you. I think God would dock you somewhere to reach lost people, because how often are they going to come across a fired up Christian that genuinely loves Jesus? I don't know. Maybe once, twice, three times in their whole life. But God loves them so much. God needs them in eternity one day. God wants them to find hope in Him. Maybe it's not just to build your career, but to build lost people, to find lost people in the name of Jesus. Come on, the final thing. Promise, purpose, and His potential. His potential. You notice I didn't say your potential. Come on, that's how we ground ourselves. That's how we build up. That's how we become established, by holding on to God's potential for our lives. I love this statement. The statement's this: the sky is not the limit. Don't tell me the sky's the limit when there's footprints on the moon. Ever heard that one before? Don't tell me the sky is the limit when there are footprints on our moon. I believe that with my whole heart, but I'm going to take it one step further. Don't tell me the sky is the limit when we're in relationship with the creator of the whole universe. See, man can touch the sky. Man can walk on the moon, but we know the creator of it all. The creator of the moon, the earth, the sky, everything. God's potential is unlimited. Don't tell me the sky is the limit. Don't tell me there's limits on your life when you know Jesus. He created limitations. He is no limitations. And if we're grounded in Him, we're walking with Him, a promise for your life is that there are no limitations. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Nothing is impossible for those who believe. Come on, you've heard that before. Nothing is impossible. In other words, there are no limitations. God's potential is uncapped. There is no ceiling. There is no roof. There is no max. Skyscrapers have to stop at a certain height, not with Jesus. Your life does not have a ceiling. Your career, your business, your family life, there is no ceiling. Nothing is impossible without Jesus. How exciting is that? We see this guy in the Bible named David. Soon to be King David. He was anointed to be the king at 16 years old. The truth is, I don't think he was anointed to be king because of his skill set, his leadership ability, his potential. I think he was anointed to be king because of his God's potential. And God said, I have no problem anointing a 16-year-old boy to be the king of Israel because I know that he walks in me. I know that he's not relying on his own potential, his own ability. He's relying on my ability, creator of heaven, creator of everything, Jesus. And so here King David gets anointed to be king. And he doesn't become king right away, but God promises him. He purposes him. And he relies on God's potential in his life. And no doubt David had his doubts. I'm just 16. I'm the youngest of all these brothers. I'm not even a soldier, yet God wants to lead me. Sorry, wants me to lead Israel. David had his doubts just like you do. Who am I? I'm nobody. I'm insecure. I'm small. I'm insignificant. I'm riddled with shame. I'm riddled with anxiety. Can God really use me? What's my purpose? How can I build up? How can I grow? Right now, I feel like I'm grounded in my insecurity, my doubt. I feel like God hasn't really forgiven me. I don't know what you're battling right now, but I know King David had his doubts. Doubts are okay, but they're not there to last. Promises are to last. God's purpose on your life is here to last. God's potential for your life is here to last. 1 Samuel 17:26. Look at the confidence David has knowing God is with him. Look at the confidence he has knowing that he has God's potential on his life. This is David and Goliath. Goliath. David asked the men standing near him. He said, "What will be done for the man who kills the Philistines and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defile the armies of the living God?" And I love David here because he's being cheeky. All Davids are pretty cheeky. Says, I'm going to say it again. He goes, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" In other words, who is this bloke? He's not one of us. He doesn't have the creator of the universe on his side. How on earth does he think he can overcome the army of God? And so David's man, he's so confident in God's ability, God's potential. He mocks a giant. A soldier, a warrior, the greatest beast in all the land, 16-year-old boy with a sling. So confident he begins to mock. It's incredible how much he believes in God's potential on his life. He didn't have war skills. He didn't have practice. All he had was God. All he had was his purpose. All he had was his promise. Yet he beat Goliath. Verse 34, but David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. Verse 37, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hands of this Philistine. Come on, let's give God some praise right now. He deserves it. Come on, worship team. Verse 37, that's a promise for you and me right now. That's a promise. The Lord has rescued me from this situation. From this situation. From this moment. From this. From that, the Lord has rescued me time and time again. The reason why I'm building and growing and establishing is not because I'm amazing, but because my God is amazing. My God is big. My God is mighty. My God is incredible.
Hi, I'm Richard Gabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.